Loving brothers and sisters in Christ, members of our branch churches and the local sanctuaries, and all believers who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and the GCN broadcasting viewers. Starting from today, we will begin sermons about hell. I've already given a series of a sermon about hell, and a book was published based on it. But the reason why I'm repeating it is to let more people know about hell, including the GCN broadcasting viewers. God wants everyone to know about heaven and hell. Heaven and hell surely do exist. It's only natural for man to die once he's born. After death, everyone will be judged and go to either heaven or hell. God the Father wants His beloved children to know this fact and live with a hope for heavenly kingdom. He, Adam, doesn't, Father God doesn't want anybody among all mankind, the descendant of Adam, to fall into hell. We can see how truthful His love is from Romans chapter 5, 7 to 8. It says, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God the Father proved how much He loves us. What is the evidence? It's that God gave His only begotten Son as an atoning sacrifice to break the wall of the sin between Him and us. God even gave us His one and only Son, Jesus, to save us from falling into hell. Jesus was spotless and blameless, but He took the cruel punishment in the place of us who were sinners. If we just believe this fact and live in the light, everyone can be saved from hell and go into the heavenly kingdom. The way of salvation and the gate of the heaven were opened widely for all sinners through the great love of God. But when we preach this fact, today people are indifferent or they don't want to accept and believe it. Some of them say, with the development of the science and the technology, do you still believe in heaven and hell? Have you been there? We will find out when we die. Does highly developed science make hell disappear? Without any science developed, is there no heaven and hell? Once they die, they go to hell because they didn't have a faith. And that's what I'm sorry for. As science develops and the sins and the darkness prevail more in this world, people's consciousness became more and more numbed. They deny the life to come and the judgment. Because they do not know the truth, so many people commit many kinds of sins following their loss and go the way of death. Even those who say they are believers, who say they believe in God, befriend the world and commit sins. But time keeps running towards the end without stopping, and the heart of God the Father is desperately seeking to save just one more soul. That is why God has let us know clearly about hell and to preach about it. Lazarus, the beggar, served and believed God, and that's why he could be in the bosom of Abraham. He was saved and went to the heaven, but the rich man enjoyed his wealth, but he eventually fell down to the lower grave. The more difficult your situation, the more you should depend on God. You should pray more and give thanks more. Dear brothers and sisters in the Christ, hell is not something that is very easy to preach about. When people hear about hell, those who have a faith and are full of a spirit will say they are grateful, saying, I'm grateful that God has saved me from that such a fearful place. But those who have a weak faith or new believers are afraid just to hear about hell. Some of them do not attend a worship service or even leave the church. That's such a heartbreaking thing. Someone wrote me a letter and asked me why I should deliver this health sermon. It was when I talked about the health first time. Why should he deliver the message about hell? Why should he do so? They say. Now, where in the world are parents who want their children to go to hell? Don't you think they will do anything and teach them so that they would not go to hell? Don't you think a shepherd will try anything to stop their flock from falling down to hell? Don't you think the shepherd has to tell them what hell is like so they would not go to hell? Some people who do not know about the spiritual world may have misunderstandings because they won't believe what the world says about it. Even as a pastor, I would like to preach only word of the blessing, saying, just believe in Jesus and then you will receive salvation and the blessings. It's easy to say, may God bless you. I can do it just every week. If you receive the blessing, the financial status of this church will be better. And it's good, but does the blessing come only if I say, may God bless you? I should teach you how to receive the blessing and how to receive the Holy Spirit. I should teach them how to live in order to receive a blessing. Not teaching just the stuff, but just a saying, may God bless you, is useless. But if I preach only words that are comfortable and easy to receive just because it's good to hear, then who would struggle against the sins to the point of the shedding blood? The Bible clearly tells you to cast off sins to the point of the shedding blood and teaches you to be faithful in all houses. Only when we clearly know about the reality of heaven and hell can we be on alert, not befriending the world. Then we will take a hold of the better heavenly dwelling places by force. Furthermore, if you have any wall of the sin and you become afraid when you listen to the message, it means you have received a blessing. Upon hearing about the sin of the believers in the church of the Corinth, the Apostle Paul once wrote them with tears, asking them to come into repentance. Because of it, they repent. The first half of the 2 Corinthians chapter 7-9 says, I now rejoice not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of the repentance. If we can be sorrowful to the point of the repentance, it is such a great blessing. When we want to turn from sin and repent, God always gives us a grace and the strength. If we repent from the heart and turn back and live in the light, God does not even remember the past sin. In Isaiah chapter 1:18, though your sins are as a scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like a wool. Therefore, even if you have been walking in the darkness until now, I urge you to rely on the love of the Father God and turn away completely. That way, I hope you will be able to listen to this message, having the faith that you can surely go into the heavenly kingdom. The wall I'm going to deliver from this point on is all true. I hope that not a single person among you will have any doubt. We cannot learn about the spiritual world through the knowledge or power of a man. We can learn about it only when God tells us. God tells us about the existence of hell by writing about it in many parts of the Bible. But within the limited volume of the Bible, He cannot write every detail about hell in it. Therefore, He will tell us more details and deeper things about the spiritual world through people who communicate with Him. Amos chapter 7:37 says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret counsels to His servants, the prophets. If God recognizes the servant, if He recognizes the servant of God, God will surely show him what will take place in the future. God will not do unless He reveals His secret to His servant. And since God doesn't want any of His children to fall into hell, why wouldn't He tell us the secret about hell? He wants everyone to know. There are some people who haven't been to hell by the special grace of God. Even among our church members, some of them have seen hell within their spiritual eyes. I was healed of all my diseases by the power of God. I surely met and experienced the living God. Since then, I have accepted and believed every word of God concerning heaven, hell, and the judgment. As a result, I have tried to talk about the God whom I met and to preach the gospel. But when I met those people who wouldn't believe, I felt great pity for their souls. I always thought about how I could lead them to believe that all the word of God is true. Meanwhile, I began to pray to God by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I prayed with so much fasting, even at the risk to my life. And after 7 years, God began to explain to me about the Bible. He also let me know clearly about the heaven and hell. I preached the message I received without any fear. Even though I was persecuted or had to undergo suffering because of it, I did not stop preaching. It's because I know well the heart of the Lord, who doesn't want anyone to fall into hell. Sometimes, something that I'm very thankful for, the books on heaven and hell that are translated into many languages. Many people have testified that they repented of their past life, and that through the reading the books, their hearts were renewed. They confessed, saying, "If I had not read this hell book, I must have fallen down to the hell. After reading this hell book, I was born again. I changed it. Now I know why I should be faithful and why I should fight against this sin to the point of the shedding blood." I received this kind of letters many times, and they say thank me in their letters. When I go to Israel and the other countries, people ask me to publish my books as soon as possible. They say they want to read the books as quickly as possible. They ask me to hurry, translate them. Those church workers who have been koikom also said many people looked for my book. Something else to be thankful for is that God's showing us a clear evidence so that we can believe that all of the words given are true. For those people who didn't believe to come to believe, Jesus showed the powerful works and said as followed, John chapter 14:11, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works of themselves. The Lord in God and the God is in the Lord. The Lord says, believe it. But people see the Lord look just like them, and they don't believe Him. Then the Lord tells, because He appears a man like them, then the Lord tells them to believe Him because of the works, signs, and the wonders. And the deaf comes to hear, and the blind come to see, since He's doing all things that men cannot do. Our Lord tells them to believe that God is with the Lord because of the works themselves. If there are people who doubt and do not believe even after seeing the amazing works of a God, I hope you believe. If you believe, you will be blessed. You will be blessed if you believe and obey the word to go to the heaven. The Lord has been showing us amazing works of God's power since the beginning of this church. Through this, namely the spiritual realm, we could be assured even more greatly about the actual existence of a heaven and hell. I'm asking for greater power from God even now. Be sure that this is by no means for me. As a pastor, it's to save even those people who do not believe the word of God that is preached. In the Bible, we can find Noah preached again and again that there would be the judgment of the flood, but until the day Noah went into the ark, People were eating and drinking and getting married. How sorrowful Noah must have felt for those people. Abraham knew that Sodom and Gomorrah would be judged and prayed with all his life. He asked God to save those souls who were about to perish. Because I know so clearly about the judgment and hell, I'm asking for a greater power of God with this kind of a desperate heart for salvation. The power of God has given to me is just enough, but still, there are people who don't believe, you know, even though I show them signs and wonders and miracles. When you see the experience of this powerful works, I hope all of you will believe all the word of God. God is full of mercy and compassion. He shows not only clear evidence, but also gives us a love that can go beyond justice. I hope you will rely on this love and change and also boldly teach and preach about the hell to save the many dying souls. If you listen to the sermon about hell carefully, you will be able to understand the spiritual realm more deeply. Pastor or leaders will be able to give a more accurate counseling on the laws of the spiritual realm or justice. Therefore, I hope you will understand the message very well and make it your own strength. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will make all the war your life and the power so that you will go into the farthest place from hell, namely New Jerusalem. Dear brothers and sisters, in today's scripture, it tells us that the rich man died and went to Hades. Where is Hades? Hades is another word for a grave. Is it another word for hell? Actually, it's not. Hades is another word for grave. The grave is a separate place from hell. If we understand about the grave, we can understand the whole structure of a heaven and hell. We can also understand the process of how people who die on earth enter into the heaven world, are cast into hell. The Old Testament also talks about the grave. Jacob and Job also said they would go down to the grave. Did Jacob or Job fall down to the hell? No, they didn't. They said that they would go to the grave. But number 16 tells that Korah and his people who stood against Moses fell into the grave alive. They stood against Moses. This means that grave is divided into the two places, one for those who are saved and the other for those who are not saved. In today's passage, we can see the rich man and the beggar Lazarus both went to the grave, but their situation were quite the opposite. The rich man was suffering from the flames, but Lazarus was at the side of the Abraham resting. It's because the place where the rich man went was the lower grave that belongs to the hell, and the place where the Lazarus went was upper grave that belongs to heaven. It is divided into the two parts like this. There is the upper grave where heaven going to people gather, and the lower grave where hell going people gather. When our Lord died on the cross, where did His spirit go? His spirit went to the upper grave and preached the gospel to the soul there. Namely, the grave is divided into the upper grave belongs to the heaven and the lower grave belongs to the hell. Now, where is the grave located? To understand just what heaven and hell look like, including the grave, we can think about the diamond shape. To think on the plane, we can think about the shape of the rhombus. If we cut a rhombus into the two, have a horizontally, we have a triangle on top and then inverted the triangle below. When you cut a rhombus into two, you will get two triangles. Saying that the peak of the upper triangle is the New Jerusalem and the base of the upper triangle is then the upper grave. Can you see them? There is an upper grave. And there are paradise, and the first, and the second, and third, and the New Jerusalem on top. But don't misunderstand, heaven looks exactly like that. We use the triangle shape so that you can have a better understanding of its concept. Can you see the difference in their size? Paradise is the largest. The first kingdom of heaven is the second largest, and then the third and the New Jerusalem. Why? Because the number of people who enter New Jerusalem is so little. But so many people will enter paradise, and that's why paradise is so huge. But even going to the paradise is not an easy job. Since our church members know the world well, and they prayed and tried to cast up every form of evil, and thus many of them go to the first and the second kingdom of heaven, but other Christians don't even know why heaven and hell exist, and they don't know the measure of faith either. They don't know why they should be faithful, and why they should preach the gospel, why they should give the full tithe, and why they should keep the Lord's Day holy. They just go to the church without knowing that. They say once they believe that the Lord Jesus is our Savior and the Lord redeemed us from our sins by being crucified on the cross, they can go to heaven. But it's not so. If they believe they should love God, and if they love God, they should keep the commandments of God, and they should cast off a sin to the point of shedding blood. And it's what God recognizes as a faith. But they don't know this stuff, and they just go to church and doze off during the services, but still they believe that they can receive the salvation. Saying that the peak of the upper triangle is in New Jerusalem, the base of the upper triangle is then the upper grave. From the upper grave up, it will be paradise, the first kingdom of heaven, and second and third, and the New Jerusalem. The higher the position, the better dwelling place in it. Of course, the spiritual world, we cannot draw the borderline like we do here on the earth. Also, even if we say that it's diamond-shaped, we cannot define the shape of heaven. I am just explaining this way for those who have a physical limits to be able to understand. Don't misunderstand it and say, heaven is like a diamond and there's a New Jerusalem on its top. Please don't misunderstand like this way. You can think of a hell as being symmetrical with heaven. The widest part of the inverted triangle is the lower grave. In the middle is the... The Middle East, Abyss, you can see. Getting close to the lower peak is the deepest place of hell. The part that is the closest to the lower peak is the bottomless pit. That is the otherwise called the Abyss. That is mentioned in the Luke chapter 8, 31st, and also in the book of Revelation. There is an abyss, and underneath is its lower grave, and there is the lake of the fire, and the lake of sulfur, and at the bottom is the abyss. I explained it before, right? Those who are in the first and second level of the lower grave will fall into the lake of fire after the final judgment, and those who are in the third and the fourth will fall into the lake of sulfur. The lower grave is divided like into the four different levels. There are four different places in the lower grave. But the two triangles, namely heaven and the hell, are not adjacent to each other. Also, the Abraham said that today's message, Luke chapter 16, those who dwells in heaven and hell cannot visit one another, but under a special permissions of God, as in today's scripture, they can see or talk to one another like the rich man and Abraham talked. The distance is so huge and the abyss is so rough and wide that no one can cross back and forth. But if God permits, conversation can be made. If God opened the spiritual eyes, people can see and have a conversation with Him. Today, even with the ability of a man who are only creatures, we can talk with others who are on another side of the earth while even seeing their faces. And what can God the Creator not do? You can talk with someone in U.S., seeing each other face to face through the cell phone, can't you? Man-made science is like this, and then what can't God do in the spiritual world? Just think about the sea of the glass in the Revelations chapter 4 and 6. We can feel the mystery of the spiritual realm. At the final judgment, everything will be shown on this sea of glass. Everything we have done, said, and thought in the past on the earth will be shown as if it's happening real time. It will be the evidence to judge each person. In the next session, I will talk to you about the grave in moral detail. Let me conclude this message today. Dear brothers and sisters, the way to heavenly kingdom is not wide but narrow. Nevertheless, when we choose this way of heaven, we can have a true peace in life. How many people are living in so many struggles just while living for 70 or 80 years? To extend this limited life just a little bit, they rely on the medicine and other worldly knowledge. They spend so much money and time to exercise and take health food. They live to gain more fame, authority, and money. But they live in the vague fear and the doubt about whether life to come really exists. My books, Heaven 1 and 2 and Hell, have been published. Do you think God explained so much in details to me about what doesn't exist? God exists. God created them. And God explained to me so that I could publish these books. What if I'm good at writing and published those books with my own imagination, that I should get the Nobel Prize every year? If I have that level of skill, I would win the Nobel Prize. How is it possible to publish books about the heaven and hell just with an imagination? Because God, who created itself, explained me in detail about it. I could publish those books. Because Father God created them Himself. If we believe that there's an afterlife and there's a heaven and hell, then we will surely love God and keep His commandments in our lives. If you have a little faith, you may live with doubts and vague fear. What is the reason of that kind of a life? It's an unimaginably fearful punishment of hell, which is difficult to just think or talk about. I urge you not to live this kind of a foolish life. Just imagine you are at the judgment throne of God right now. Looking back, would you not have any regrets? What if God then says that He will give you one more chance? If you have regretted anything in your past life, how thankful you would be to God for giving you one more chance. And in fact, you've received this kind of a chance one more time today. I ask you to grab a hold of this opportunity. If you sinned until yesterday, if you had done deed of the flesh, depriving of the salvation today and at this time, you should return and do the deed that can help you be saved now. You should repent thoroughly, return from the heart, and pursue the truth. Then you will be saved without discrimination, and depending on how diligently and faithfully you've been and how much you have become more sanctified during the rest of a life, you will be able to reach New Jerusalem, the best place in heaven. I urge you to live a valuable life each day so you can go into New Jerusalem. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will live a happy life forever there without any regrets.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work, with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.